You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Ask a Pastor segment. We do have Pastor Joseph Fodder, who is no stranger to the program, has been with us for quite some time now, and he put some time aside to come and help us with these difficult questions. Pastor Joseph Fodder, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you so much, and indeed, Happy New Year. It's been a while.
Indeed, my Pastor. Compliments of the New Year to you, too. Thank you very much, my Pastor. Our question for today is, how do you comfort someone who feels spiritually abandoned by God?
Okay, that's a common question that I experience, especially when I'm dealing with the young people, because of the things that could have happened around them. And actually, recently, I was having a situation where a young lady in her 20s, she came to my office and opened up. And then she said that, Pastor, I think God doesn't love me. And I have tried to suppress this feeling for a long time, but then it is not going. Then I became interested to find out what is happening or what is the problem. Then she said when she was 8 years old, she was raped by or defiled by her biological father. And then this issue where it becomes an internal family issue.
Yeah.
And then she had to grow up and deal with that. And meanwhile, the father is a supposed Christian.
Hey. You?
And then she feels, how can God allow such a person to continue even serving the church with that kind of background? So I can begin by saying sometimes we are always in a hurry wanting to help people
who are
spiritually distressed without understanding what is really the problem, So I think the starting point is you, who is supposed to help.
Yeah.
Do you really buy into what they are feeling?
Okay.
Do you understand the extent of the distress that they are in? And once you have established that,
right,
I think what is important is giving them assurance that God will take care of them, and it is only God who can heal them from the trauma. Otherwise, these things are quite real.
So how do you do that? I think that's the nub of the issue, my Pastor. Now that you have understood and you've put yourself in their shoes and blah blah blah, what do you say to that person who feels, God has abandoned me?
Okay, so when this person comes to you, it means they are coming from the point of weakness and they look up to you for strength, or they know you can help them.
Right.
So first of all, let them understand that you mean well for them.
Okay.
And that whatever you are going to discuss will not go, because they need to be assured of that safe environment.
Right.
And then from there now, you need to counsel them. And so the starting point is counseling. And then you pray with them, you study scriptures with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you realize that the issue is beyond you, especially when you are a pastor, do not shy away to say, I think what we are dealing with may need actually professional counseling. You can make that recommendation. As a counselor, you can tell your counselee to seek further help from somebody probably who is experienced in that kind of treatment. So from our end, we need to, give an assurance that God, there's no wound.
Tell me, Pastor.
There's no wound that God can't heal.
I don't know now. If you're going to say a professional, I would imagine that when I take it to you as a pastor, you are the professional.
Yes.
Are you still there? Are you still there, Pastor?
Okay. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Okay, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
When somebody comes to the pastor, and then they are very much convinced that what they are dealing with is a spiritual problem.
Right.
Like in a case that I just gave you, where somebody was defiled, and so when they are coming to the pastor, they are coming thinking that, okay, yes, this is a spiritual problem. But then when you dissect the problem, you discover that, yes, there is pastoral care, which is supposed to be provided. But there's also a component where you need a clinical, some kind of a clinical therapy that needs to be engaged as well. Because some problems are supposed to be approached in a holistic, in a holistic manner. You can provide the spiritual.
So spirituality is not holistic?
Let me give an example where somebody has been traumatized. So the trauma sometimes will be more on the mental aspect. You get my point?
I'm trying to follow, Pastor. Go ahead.
Okay, so sometimes the trauma is whereby the mind, the cognitive function, somebody has challenges to process, somebody has challenges to process things, even the issues of forgiveness. Actually, research has shown that most of the people who had severe childhood traumas, severe childhood challenges, they have problems actually in forgiving. So what has happened is that this person, at the point of the trauma when it happened, they became psychologically disturbed and it affected their mental development. And so where now we need to apply holistic counseling is while we are talking from the spiritual point of view, the assurance that God will forgive and all these things. But then you still need a professional, a clinical, maybe right. psychologist or, a healthy, I don't know what they would call
it. Let me give you an example. My pastor. We have two characters in the Bible that just popped into my mind. As a young man, as a pre-adolescent, Joseph was abandoned by his, he was not abandoned. He was sold by his brothers to slavery. As a pre-adolescent, he was thrown into a pit and his brothers wanted to kill him. Now that's trauma. To be put in a pit and your brothers want to bury you alive or kill you, that's trauma. Huh?
Yes.
And then they don't succeed there, Reuben stops it, and then they sell him, literally sell him into slavery. And as he goes to slavery, he finds himself accused in slavery of rape. All of these, this is trauma number three. Trauma number one, his brothers try to kill him. Trauma number two, his brothers sell him to slavery. Trauma number three, he's accused of rape. Trauma number four, he serves time in prison. And we all know what happens in prison. Trauma number five, they tell him he's going to die there because he's all by himself. So all of these traumas, we don't see Joseph in his old age unable to be a responsible father or unable to be a responsible leader in Egypt. He didn't go through any of these quote-unquote traumas I am citing. He grew up and he became a very productive father to two of his children with an African, beautiful African woman, Asenath. All these traumas that you and I could count right now, where were they then? David is a young boy, was attacked by a bear. He fought a bear. That should have been a trauma He was attacked by a lion. He killed a lion.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been a trauma. He then goes and he goes to a war. As a boy, he goes to war. What we call child soldiers. Oh, child soldiers. Oh, they're traumatic. The experience you're going through, taken there as boy children, boy soldiers. It's bad. Their mind is destroyed. No. This boy has been killing bears and lions. And now he goes, he volunteers to go and kill a man. Now, if you and I were to sit now and listen to a boy, 12, 13, 14, says, I'm going to kill that man. That man would say, ha, 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 this boy is disturbed in the head. He says he's going to kill a man. Not only did he kill Goliath, he went, took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. Imagine the blood watching a boy, a 15-year-old boy, cutting and removing a man's head. And that didn't traumatize him. All of those things, all of those traumas, where were those traumas? They didn't affect David. No post-traumatic stress disorder. No post-war stress disorder. Nothing. Nothing. All of these things that we now today identify as traumas that need clinical help, they didn't affect these boys. Why does it appear as though this generation is so trauma-prone that we have resigned ourselves? We can't be helped by God. God, who helped Joseph in his quote-unquote traumas, helped David in his quote-unquote traumas. No, we don't have that God. We want a clinician to deal with our traumas. If God was able to deal what would have been traumas for David and Joseph, why can't God deal with our traumas? Why should we refer people to clinicians?
Okay. I'm not saying you need to refer them to the clinicians. What I'm saying is you need to have a holistic approach.
That's my question.
You know, when you are dealing with professional counseling, sometimes, it's not just a matter of when somebody comes to you as a pastor, then you just say, let's pray. You let's pray about this issue. You need to engage with this person. You need to engage with this person. You need to talk. You need to understand. Because maybe as a pastor, you may only have some basics of counseling and things like that. You know? And this is why I was saying we should not shy away where you think the thing you are dealing with is beyond what you can handle. You need to make sure that you refer them to a clinician.
Who helped David Mfundisi when he felt like God had abandoned him? Who helped Joseph when he felt God had abandoned him? Who helped Jesus on the cross when he was crying, Lord, why have you forgiven forsaken me? All these characters I'm citing here felt the same way this person is feeling, spiritually abandoned by God. Which clinician attended to them? Which holistic treatment did these guys have? Why do we resort to holistic treatment as opposed to the same treatment these characters in the Bible received?
Okay. Let's see. I think we are talking about one thing from two different points of view.
Oh, okay.
And so now let me put it this way. I began my statement by saying, when somebody feels spiritually abandoned by God.
Right.
And I gave you a practical example of what happened to me just last week. A young lady comes, she was raped by her father. You know, and these are Christians
in the
church. And then actually, you discover that when she comes with a lot of hate. And she has, it's a family secret. And she has not spoken to anyone outside the family for over some time.
Then
she comes to you. But then when you begin to talk, you realize to say there's some psychological defects here. So in my limitations, like I mentioned, we'll discuss, we'll pray, and so on and so forth. But then where I was talking about holistic help,
right,
is you look at the psychological aspect that is in this person. Say, this person may also need clinical help.
Right.
Not that you have no help. Not that you have no faith in God.
Mm.
No, that is not the case. It's like a situation where you are saying, I will not lock the door because I believe in God. There's a part you need to do as a human being. And this is where we are saying, even when the doctor attends to you, it does not mean you have no faith. You cannot pray and your disease get healed. You can, and you are praying, even as you take medicine. It is also part of the therapy, because God will inspire those doctors also to help you treat this patient. And this is a component that I don't want somebody to be gullible, to say, no, I am sick. God has abandoned me with this disease, so I will just pray and it ends just there. No, that is not the approach we should take. We should take responsibility that if there's this component that needs another expert, why can't we work together to solve the same problem? If, for example, somebody is diagnosed with HIV and then they feel spiritually abandoned, because, you know, some people think that when you are HIV positive, you know, you are a sinner and then you cannot be in contact with God and things like that. So when somebody comes to you with that particular case, you will encourage them to say, okay, fine, these things happen. Mm-hmm. God does not abandon you. There's hope for you. Even in this sickness, there is hope. Mm-hmm. And you can still have a relationship with God. You can be healthy. You can be, you can be happy, but still you need to take your medication. So when you encourage them to take medication, that is an example of a holistic approach to a problem that has been presented to you. It does not mean to say, no, because that one did not do that, that one did not do that. People in the name of religion actually have died because they have been mishandled. They have not been helped properly. So when you refer somebody to say, go and see that one, it does not mean you have no faith in God. Are you getting my point?
I'm hearing you, Pastor. I'm listening to you. Yeah, go ahead. Are you still there, Pastor? Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to you, Pastor.
Are you able to appreciate my thought?
I hear you.
So when we do that, we are approaching the problem from all angles. Not that we are running away. You know, we are running away from the situation.
Right.
But then at the end of the day, when we appreciate, because when you're a spiritual problem, you need to say, okay, from the spiritual aspect, we shall handle it.
Right.
You know, we shall pray, we shall continue having sessions, we shall continue talking. But if there's a physical aspect, we should not treat a physical aspect spiritual, because a physical aspect, we need a physical solution.
Mm. Okay. I hear you. All right.
Which in this case is like, you know, medicine. You need to take medicine, especially where disease is concerned. These are some of the things that make people become distressed.
Right.
You know?
No, I hear you, Mfundis. I hear you. I'm looking forward to your answers for the rest of the week. Mfundis, thank you very much for your time and your answer and your insights. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Okay, thank you so much, and have a good day.
Thank you very much. Pastor Joseph Farah, our Ask a Pastor for the week. He was answering the question, how do you comfort someone who feels spiritually abandoned by God? Well, this is your chance to take your questions. Also, if you have any questions, please share them with us. We'll find you a pastor like we'll find Pastor Farah and many other pastors before him. And give us your questions. I'll do my best like I've done now to have the pastor answer your questions. And I'll do the follow-up questions like I'm doing right now with Pastor Joseph Farah. Thank you very much once again, Mfundis. Have a wonderful day further.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.